Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Red Friday, Playoff Friday, January 21st, 2022. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. In the 9 o'clock hour, we will talk with Tim Grunhard, who makes his triumphant return to the studio. But right now, we have another Chiefs Hall of Famer that we want to talk to on the phone. Mr. Daron Cherry joins us. Daron, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Stephen. How are you? Good morning to each and every one of you guys.
That's right. Thank you so much for that. We appreciate you spending a few minutes with us on the phone today. Daron, the Chiefs and the Bills, it's the marquee matchup of the weekend. I want to talk to you a little bit first about the Buffalo Bills and their defense. They are the number one ranked defense in the NFL, and they're led by maybe one of, certainly I would say a top five, top three safety tandem in the NFL.
Yep.
Between Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, that's your position. Start there. What do you think and what do you see from that safety duo from the Buffalo Bills?
Well, they seem to be always in the right position at the right time, making plays. They come up, they're able to make tackles, but they're also able to roam back there deep and get to the ball and make plays from sideline to sideline. So when you have two safeties like that, you're able to do a lot of things. And, we saw that in the first game. Those guys made some big plays in the first game against us. And so you got to account for two quality safeties like that when you're playing in the National Football League. So, you know, I'm sure Patrick is aware of them and understands what they're going to try to do. If they do what they did to us the first game, you know, they're going to play off like they did before and not allow Tyreek to get deep and try to keep everything in front of you.
So you talk about that, Daron, and I'm just curious, when you look at the balance of that Bills offense, how difficult does that make them to stop in terms of everything that they're trying to do? Because it does seem like you have to respect a lot more than just one thing.
Well, I don't know how balanced they are from a standpoint of their passing attack and running game. What makes them balanced is Josh Allen. You have to account for him in the running game.
Mm-hmm.
He's the factor in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you watched the game last week against New England, the way they killed New England is when he started to scramble or where they called design runs, you know, he's going down the field 25, 30 yards. So he's the guy that you have to account for. You know, he's got a big arm, so the weather isn't going to be a problem. He can throw the ball. And, you know, but more importantly, he's a guy that, like Patrick, you know, he's just not scrambling to throw the ball. He's scrambling to run, too. So it gives the Buffalo Bills a two-dimension quarterback. And those quarterbacks that are two-dimensional are always ones that you have to be aware of. There's no difference with the Bills with Patrick. You know, they get into a man-to-man, all-out blitz, and they open up. Patrick's capable of running and picking up first downs and keeping the drive alive. Josh Allen has the ability to do the same thing. So that's why it makes, both of these teams, and especially these offenses, so dangerous, is their quarterbacks have the ability to run.
Daron Cherry is our guest. Daron, let me ask you about the Chiefs' secondary. We've talked plenty about the fact that Chris Jones and Melvin Ingram did not play. Ingram wasn't on the team. Jones was inactive that first game against Buffalo. But Charvarius Ward didn't play either. And now Rashad Fenton has not practiced the last couple of days after missing the game against the Steelers. With his back locked up on him in pregame warm-up. So with Charvarius Ward playing and Rashad Fenton maybe not playing, what did the Chiefs gain with Charvarius Ward in the lineup, and what do they lose if Rashad Fenton can't go?
Well, with Charvarius Ward, what you gain is experience, a guy that's played in all these big games before. So you've got a guy that has experience in big games and has played well in big games. And so you're going to need him, you know, especially with Diggs out there and some of the other receivers they have. So that's an advantage for the Chiefs. And, you know, our defense is entirely different from when we first played them early in the year. You know, with if Willie Gay is able to go and, you know, you got Bolton in there, you've got two-speed linebackers that can run, that can chase Josh Allen down if he decides to go or can contain him. So our defense is entirely different, especially you got Chris Jones in the middle. The one thing about the first game, Josh Allen seemed to sit back in that pocket. He was able to get a clear picture of where he wanted to deliver the ball. And he was able to do that consistently in that game, and that's what, you know, really hurt the Chiefs' defense. They couldn't get any stops. They couldn't get off the field. So I think it would be a lot different this time.
What kind of impact do you think Melvin Ingram will have in this game?
Well, he should have a big impact. I mean, he's the type of guy that you want coming off the corner, and you have to disrupt Josh Allen. You can't allow him to sit back like we did the first game and just, you know, find the receiver, throw the ball. He made some big plays in the first game, and that's what, you know, allowed them to continue drives and march down the field and score touchdowns. So, you know, the fact that you've got another guy that can put pressure that he didn't have to see in the first game, you know, it poses a different set of circumstances for the Bills, too, as well.
Yeah, and the right side of that Bills offensive line, I think, is a little suspect. So if those guys can get him under pressure, I do feel like Josh Allen, he can miss some throws. I mean, obviously he's got incredible arm strength and he can make some big-time throws, but he can miss some throws as well. How important do you think it is for the Chiefs to capitalize and pick him off once or twice if he does make those types of mistakes?
Well, that's the idea. You want to be able to speed him up. You don't want him to be back there. If you watch the first game, he sat back there and he was comfortable. You know, from the start of the game, he was comfortable. And he, you know, as you get comfortable early in the game, you gain a lot more confidence, and that's what he did. He was able to gain confidence because he was comfortable in the pocket. We have to disrupt that. We have to make him not comfortable. We have to have people up in his face, up in the middle of the pocket. And if you're able to do that, then all of a sudden he has to deal with that the entire game and not deal with a clean pocket. So I think that will benefit the team, and especially our defense in the secondary, if we're able to get some pressure and make him uncomfortable in the pocket.
Deron Cherry is our guest. You know, clearly the number one and number two goals when you look at the Chiefs' offensive weapons, if you're the Bills' defense, you got to, you know, take care of Tyreek Hill, and you've got to focus your attention on Travis Kelce. But with the emergence of Jerick McKinnon, and what he did in the, you know, in the screen game, catching passes, being a very effective runner last week, having over 140 yards from scrimmage. When you're the Buffalo Bills defensive staff, looking at how they used Jerick McKinnon and how fresh his legs looked, how much more difficult does he make this Chiefs defense to this Chiefs offense to defend for the Buffalo Bills defense?
He makes it hard to defend. You know, when you look at the first game, you know, Patrick was constantly trying to move the ball down the field. So he was always looking for that big play. This is an entirely different philosophy that the team is going with now. You know, he's taking what the defense has given him. And what that does is you're able to sustain longer drives, keep that defense out on the field, get those guys up front tired, and then you're able to utilize both the run and the pass. And with McKinnon, you're able to utilize him, you know, in the passing game more efficiently than you would, you know, say early in the year where they were trying to throw the ball down the field. So, you know, those little slip screens out of the backfield, they're just like running plays, right? So you get him in space and let him make plays. So they have to account for that this time. They're not just going to be trying to, you know, look at the Chiefs in a way that, you know, they did it early in the season when it was all down the field throwing and trying to find a big play, and Patrick was standing in the pocket and holding the ball for a long time to wait for somebody to come open, and then the pass rush would kind of force him into some bad throws. He's going to be getting that ball out of his hands and letting those playmakers make plays, and that's going to be a difference at the Buffalo Bills from the first game that's going to be a total difference in what they're doing this game.
So Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back in practice after dealing with his shoulder injury, and so I'm curious, with what you just said about McKinnon, how do you think they'll balance the usage of those two guys through the course of the game?
Well, if you remember, when Clyde Edwards-Helaire, his first season against the Buffalo Bills, he was a Bills killer.
Yep.
He ran the ball very, very well. And so that gives you another weapon. You get a guy that has had some success running against the Bills football team. You know, that's got to give the Chiefs a lot of confidence going into this game that, you know, they're getting a guy back who's had success running the ball against them, and they were not able to stop him. So I like that idea of having that 1-2 punch.
Daron Cherry is our guest. Besides Jerick McKinnon, we've seen Mecole Hardman put together a couple of nice games in a row. And also, Byron Pringle has emerged as a weapon, especially he's had two touchdowns against Pittsburgh. He had two touchdowns the first time around against Pittsburgh. And so if they are going to focus on trying to take away Tyreek Hill or turn all that attention to Travis Kelce, how do you feel about Hardman and Pringle and the way they've stepped up and turned themselves into somewhat reliable weapons for Patrick Mahomes now?
Well, and that's the thing. I think Patrick has gotten very, very comfortable with those two and is not afraid to throw the ball that direction. He's got a lot of confidence in them. So that just makes your offense that much more dangerous, because now you don't have to – if they want to double-team Kelce or they want to double-team Tyreek, let them do it. You got other weapons that you can go to that can make plays and keep the chains moving. The idea of keeping the chains moving in this game is so important to be able to, you know, maintain possession. And then also when you get into the red zone, you know, you want to score touchdowns against the Bills team because they can strike pretty quickly, you know, down the field. So, but I think having those weapons that Patrick has, you know, gives him the versatility to be, you know, aware of what they're doing defensively and then attack them in a way with other receivers that the Bills aren't used to covering.
We've seen some pretty bad weather in playoff games over the years. I remember the coldest game that I've ever attended was that playoff game against the Colts after the 95 season, where I felt like I was still frozen 2 or 3 hours after the game, especially I was frozen screaming at Lynn Elliott.
You and I both.
But, I mean, we just talked to Gary Lezak talking about a high of between 45 and 50. It's going to be dry, so no chance of rain or snow or anything like that. And right around kickoff, it'll be, you know, in the high 30s. You can't ask for much better than that in Kansas City in late January, right? It's going to be perfect football weather.
You can't, and, you know, who does it benefit, right? Usually a dry field, good conditions, benefits a team that has a lot of speed, and, you know, the Chiefs have a lot of speed. So that benefits us. And plus, we've got the home field advantage. It will be a lot different than it was in the first game here.
Before we get your official prediction of how you think things are going to play out at Arrowhead, any thoughts on who's going to win that game between the Bengals and the Titans and the other divisional playoff game in the AFC?
Man, I like Cincinnati's chances. I think they're a hot team right now. Their quarterback's playing well. They seem to have a lot of confidence. And, you know, I just wonder just with Tennessee, you know, how – you know, the one thing about Tennessee I will say is I think they're probably one of the best coach teams from a standpoint that they understand situational football. And they do a very, very good job of, you know, teaching their guys how to play, especially in tight games. But I just don't know if they have all the firepower that they're going to need against Cincinnati. I think you got to be able to score a lot of points and I just don't see their offense doing that, and especially if Cincinnati can stop the run. I don't know if Derrick Henry's going to play or not, but if he does, and, you know, it's hard coming back, you know, after being out so long and making a huge contribution like he'll make, you know, it's just hard to predict. But if they can stop the run, they've got a chance. And I know they're, you know, on the road – But, you know, a team like Cincinnati usually travels pretty good because if their defense can hold up and play stout, they've got a chance. So I like Cincinnati in that game.
And, of course, everyone in Kansas City will be rooting for Cincinnati because if Cincinnati wins and the Chiefs win, the championship game will be right back at Arrowhead Stadium where it belongs. So how's this going to play out? What's your prediction? What score are we going to see on Sunday night at Arrowhead?
I'm predicting a score of 34-21 Chiefs.
34-21 Chiefs. And so, I mean, I'll take that. I mean, it's almost everyone has the Chiefs between 31 and 35 points that we've talked to. Some people have it closer, but I'll take 34-21. You going to be out there, Duran, ready to roll?
Yes, I will.
As always.
I will, definitely.
Hey, you're always ready, aren't you? You're ready for playoff football. That's what I love.
Yeah, I wake up ready.
That's what I'm ready. You're ready right now.
That's right.
Hey, Duran, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. And again, if they win, be right back with us because we can't jinx anything, all right?
Well, I look forward to it.
Thank you, Duran.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Hey, you do the same thing. That's Chiefs Hall of Famer Duran Cherry. Later on, we'll talk to Chiefs Hall of Famer Tim Grunhard in studio. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.